So I'm going to talk about some work that's been coming out for a while, but it's just one of the papers that needs always more work on it. So this is about, this is in context of duality that relates type 2B or any reflex complication and just straightforward collabial complications. And so in two different theories, the Arrhenius Ford theory is type 2B on the torus Arrhenius Ford, and the dual theory is in type 2A, and some
that's okay.
And the dual theory is, has no flux since it's on some newly constructed collabial, at least in physics literature. Later realized some mathematicians, one mathematician actually has found this like 10 years ago, but was not published. Okay, so okay, well, overview of what's going on in this talk. So the realization that there was such a deal between flux vacuum and just purely geometric one was realized, well, first it was realized in some paper by Kashu, Schultz, and Chawadi, but it was further studied in this paper by Mike Schultz himself, and many of these dualities of the dual geometry was deduced by just looking at the supergravity properties, and but it was still, you know, before you see the collabial, it was still doubtful that this thing really works out. Because so what we do now here is we give two explicit constructions of these dual collabials just to convince you that this duality does work. So one of them is describes the dual geometry in terms of so one of them describes the original flux in terms of some vibration structure and also the sources in the original type 2B flux vacuum in terms of some singularities. So this is reminiscent of F theory, but since the dual theory actually has a abelian surface vibration structure, so it's not for elliptic surface, but elliptic curves, but rather for T4s. And then the other one is we actually can realize in one of the, at least in one of the special cases, this T4 in terms of Jacobian of the genus 2 genus 2 curve. So it's a hyper elliptic curve. And this may have some relation to this duality that's been discovered, that's been discussed recently in literature. And as some byproduct, actually, we can construct new collabials and study the relation between the collabials which are dual to different, there was flux there, so we can study relations between the collabials which are dual to flux vacuums, different flux number, for example. And so we already gave some motivation, but we go through a bit more. So one of them, of course, one of the most important motivations was to see if there are, you know, non-trivial dualities in the presence of flux and whether you can understand the full details of these dualities. And the duality that's under discussion is actually sort of open-closed duality, because in the original flux vacuum you actually have difference, and in the pure geometric dual picture you just have a collabial. Nonetheless, this dual collabial is able to encode all the interesting information of the original vacuum, and it's a strong weak duality in the sense that we have to go through in, as a step in this realizing this duality picture. I could have to leave to M theory and then come back down again. Another thing is this is one of the first vacuum first flux, actually first studied to in the context of moduli stabilization, for example, in this paper. And we were hoping that this could lead to some new insights on flux vacuum in general, because there's we know there's a big landscape of them. And so there's also, because these calabials, these duos have non-trivial fundamental groups, so they're also used for heterotic phenomenology. And in the context of flux amplifications, it's interesting and important to understand instant corrections, but they have not been done systematically. You can study which kind of cycles contribute.
So the Calabi-Yau on type 2A side which you construct, is it simply connected or not?
No, it has a non-trivial fundamental group.
Okay. But is it a new one which wasn't known before?
Yeah, it was not known to physicists, as I said.
Okay, but this
there was a talk by Saito in the string phenomenology conference this year, and we realized he had this Calabi-Yau.
Okay.
One of the Calabi-Yaus he had constructed 10 years ago. But it was not in any paper. So this D3 instant answer is important for exploring the structure of the modulized, the string vacuum. And so one thing that's new here, that's coming up, seems to be coming up new here, is this, some of these D3 instantons just, if you follow the dialectic mapping to worksheet instantons. And that's a quantity that can be studied very systematically in the dual kitchen. And so not only that you can get a precise quantity result for these corrections, also you can find new things, because there are not only the sections contribute, there are some other things, some other rational curves which contribute too. And from that you can infer that something you hadn't expected in dual kitchen to contribute actually. So this work in progress. And another thing is, another important aspect of the studying flux vacuum is to study moduli space and KQ reductions. And that's also an open question so far. So in principle, in our setting, you can study that fairly explicitly. And as I said, because of the Jacobian, there could be a realization of duality in this more symmetric setting. So we go through a bit of the supergravity duality chain, just to remind you how this duality works, actually. So it's useful to keep in mind how this chain goes through, because many of the constructions are through later will depend on this knowing this chain actually existed. So the starting point is actually a warped complication. So in contrast, in the end you just got a conventional complication. So I've numbered the P6 factors into a T2 and a T4. And the T4 itself has a vibration, but it's a trivial vibration because there's flux connection. So I'm colored them just to make it easier to see how the various circles in this geometry goes. And what you do is you trivialize the T2 fiber of the T4 factor, and also another circle that sits this is just the product, so in the other T2. And after these three trivialities, you got you still have flux in the background, but you have now instead of P6 and D3 and O3, you have P6 and O6. And this is the usual story for the NIS flux that it dualizes into a vibration of the dual fiber. And then the Raman flux, you realize it actually encodes all this information about the D6. And there's also a bit of information about curvature of the base. And there's the usual story that you can realize this app 2. So the app 3 realizes into app 2 as a connection, as a vibration for describing vibration of the M3 circle. And indeed, this works. So in the M theory, you put an extra circle described by this C1 as the connection. And in M theory, you got this this spectrum. So the Calabi-L3 is just here. And then you have an extra circle. When you study the geometry in detail, you see there's a circle which is a sort of a spectator. It's not fiber or anything. So this Calabi-L itself is fairly complicated. It incorporates also the M3 circle in here, so the 11th dimension. So this is why it's coded in non-pluralistic duality. But this geometric circle in the original picture is now sitting for, therefore nothing. So you can imagine you can reduce that to type 2A. And you still got an equal 2 vacuum, but now because the rings and the flags are all geometric objects in this picture, you just got the Calabi-L3. So there are actually a bunch of things you can learn from this duality chain. For example, the first thing you learn is because you have sources for these warp factors, and that dictates where some circles degenerate or shrink. And this tells you that there's a bunch of singular fibers in the dual geometry, which and the number of them is dictated by the number of D3 grains in the original theory. And then also from the massless spectrum of the original theory, you can figure out that the dual Calabi-L has to have a certain number of certain structure in clutch numbers, and that's also dictated by the by the number of B grains, D3 grains especially, and it actually has to satisfy this condition between the number of D3 grains and the flux numbers, and or the SS and Raman 3-4 flux numbers, and this will come out again in the dual theory. So another thing is there's a lattice. So in the dual theory, there's a lattice of sections. This is related to the S2N geometry, enhanced geometry, in the D3 in the range for the picture. And actually, when these flux numbers are not minimal, are not equal to 1, you see by just looking at the supergravity action that these flux do not complete heaps. The U1s, which are the shape symmetries of the C4 Raman-Raman field, and actually you are left with some discrete isometries and also non-trivial fundamental group, and so this is interesting because you know the Calabi-Ls can have continuous isometries, but in this case they do have non-trivial discrete ones. And this is just a side note that there's a different way to motivate this duality, and I'll come back to this later. So even more comes from this chain of dualities. You can realize that the fiber, which is a abelian surface, it has a thing, it has a structure called polarization, which is basically the ratio of the Keeler moduli of the two T2 factors of it. And this is also given by the flux numbers. And using this approximate metric, you can construct some approximate harmonic forms. I say approximate because, for example, the O6, for the O6, there are a bunch of corrections to the leading order metric, which is the -4 Taubnack metric. So we'll just use the approximate case to, and it turns out to work. And so from these harmonic forms, you can compute some intersection numbers. And this, I'm listing them here because this is important for checking that the Calabi-L we actually construct later.
Wait, can you explain again, what do you mean by approximate metric?
Okay, so no, there was a lift to the M theory, and there was the O6. So the O6 matrix would be, in principle, the arterial, sorry, the Gibbons-Hawking matrix. But instead, we just used minus four units of Tavenade.
So it's valid in what regime?
It's valid in the regime when the so when the M theory circle is small, you can neglect the fractions due to whatever is running in that circle, kicking those. And so this turns into the in dual picture that the fiber is actually small compared to the base. So this bunch of triple intersections are important to check because we'll see that the Calabi-Yau construct has exactly this intersection structure. And also, we can deduce this order is not good. Anyway, so we can deduce the dual fiber is actually a Abelian surface from some extra data. So I'm going to go through this really quickly because the one thing I'm, the reason I'm mentioning F theory is my non-example where the dual geometry includes information about Brenz and Raman-Raman fluxes in terms of pure geometry. So and this is it's also related to our first construction of the dual geometry because of this. Will be the kind of description we're using for that. So first of all, if you put type 2B on P1, this is dual to F3 on K3, lifting fiber K3, and this how this dictionary just tells you how you map between the two pictures. You go from B7 brands to singular fibers of the elliptic fiber region, and when you build around the PQ 7 gram, for example, you got monodromy matrix. And in the dual, this is the same thing, just realized by going around a singular fiber. And so this description, the after description is, of course, a non-perturbative one. So it in the original, so the P1 is just the T2 over Z2 or D4, you can think of it as that. And there were four Lusanian plants whose monodromy were fixed by requiring that when you have four E7 on top of the Lusanian, you have to have a trivial monodromy. So you can fix monodromy matrix from the ones you knew for the E7s. And up to some, the non-perturbative description in F theory actually comes when you realize that this monodromy matrix up to some equivalence, which are like similarity transformations, they uniquely factorize into two factors. And these factors can be due to, so then realize these two factors can be related to the PQ silence with these charges. And this is also the same story in cyber-Witten theory, where the singular point of the modal space actually results in the non-perturbative theory. So I've written down these monodromy matrices, and this is a complete description of the type 2D data through the topology and geometry of K3. So can we do something like that? Because we can learn a fair bit about the dual fibrillation structure from just supergravity in our case. So we need a similar description for a T4 fiber. And to motivate this, you can consider the T6 mod Z2 already for with no flux. And there are a few different ways to realize there's a duality to attack to Lacan K3 time P2, you can go through either you can go through either the catrotic type 2 duality and the type 2B type 1 duality. So then you can connect these two, or you can go through actually very similar to the duality chain I showed you earlier, you can go through M theory But so the rationale why this module is our case is that the K3 can be considered also as a K2 fibration or K1. So there is a K1 base, and you can consider this K2 also as a part of a fiber. It's just trivially there, doesn't do anything. And when you turn on flux, the structure is such that the flux members actually dictates how this T2 mixes the other T2 when you go around singular fiber. I'll show you the details in the next few slides. So this is the thing to take away from this non-flux duality. So how can you infer anything for the monodromy matrices for these T4 fibers? Remember before we lifted this dual theory with flux and D606 to lamb theory, there were a pair of O6 separated at at this. So first we lifted to lamb theory and it went down through a geometric circle in the original theory. And on that circle, there were two O6 sitting at different fixed points. So this is very similar. So that's, of course, the complete description is in Young theory. But when we go back down to Calabi Yau, because we shrank that circle, actually two of the O6s come together. This is very similar to the F3 description, where when you went down from the, when we went down to the RNT4 limit, the two PQ7 grains actually come together and give you a open kind of singularity. Another reason that we can learn something about these monodromy matrices is because you realize in the dual Calabi Yau, this how the circles shrink are dictated by the M theory, because when you have D6 and O6, so for example, when you have the D6, the M3 circle shrinks close to the D6, and that because now this M3 circle is part of geometry in the dual picture, so that tells us something about how the degenerate fibers are behaving. And so this is how this is notation I'm going to use for a bit. This is similar to the Kodaira description of Lipschitz fibrations. So these are the singular fibers associating to the D6 and the O6. So each O6 will give, each pair of O6 actually give me this kind of pair of singular fibers in T4. And so these D6 and O6, of course, came from before the P duality from D3s and O3s. So the A type monodromy matrices are very similar to the F3 case. You have that, this is monodromy on one of the T2s, and the other one is just sitting there doing nothing. But because we modulate, now the flux actually do something. So they do something to the B and C types. And these B and C types actually differ depending on which O6 it came from in the original picture. So because there was the original theory is a trivial fibration. You remember there was a T4, which is a trivial fibration, but nonetheless, there was a fibration. There was a connection, it's flat, but there was one. And this is the reason why these different, at different points, this monodromy matrix are to differ. And just to give you one example, so this is the guy I call P1. This is the one sitting at the origin of one of the T2 factors in the original theory. Actually, the T2, the T2 base of the T4 factor. And you see these flux members entering this monodromy matrix. And the thing I want to motivate is that this monodromy matrix is actually uniquely defines the dual geometry. This is so because the degeneration of the singular fibers are very simple in our case. They're just lifting by the M3 circle in the original picture in the M3 lift. So this is actually enough data to encode the singular the degeneration structures. Actually, we can do more. For example, I told you that the dual description should include all the interesting information of original theory. Actually, for example, there was in the original theory, you had D3 charges, and there was chemical cancellation condition. And this is actually realized by nothing but the total monodromy on the P1 base of the dual vibration to be trivial, because you can put a trivial circle there. And actually, it does work out. So when you multiply all the monodromies, you got almost the identity matrix, but with one non-vanishing entry. And this entry just tells you that the original chemical cancellation has to be satisfied. So this is a case of what can be called a topological chemical cancellation. So we have a pure geometry, but nonetheless, this knows the original physics in the flat section. And so I will continue this monodromy description of the dual geometry, but I'll give you a bit more information in addition to just the singular fibers. This can be done due to a structure called the model via video lattice. So this shows up first in the F3 literature too. So what this tells you is some finer structure about the PQ7 brain setup. So on the PQ7 brain, in this PQ7 brain setup, you have a bunch of strings, so string network connecting them. And what are these string networks? They are just, in terms of the gauge theory on the PQ7 brain, they are just W bosons in gauge theory. So they tell you which states become, so depending on which, how you put the singular fibers in F-theory together, you got different gauge groups, enhanced gauge groups. And these are dictated by the length, by the string networks. And as I already mentioned, the UK vibration has a very beautiful description in terms of the, the elliptical vibration gives a beautiful description of the PQ5-7 brains. And the real, so this elliptical vibration has attached to it this lattice structure, which encodes also the information of the gauge group. And so if you look at the elliptical fiber, well, if you like to look at the vibration structure, for example, the second homology of this, for example, the K3 surface, if you use the spectral sequence, I don't really need it, but this is how the mathematicians came up to this model V lattice. So let me put them here. So you have the generic fiber, which is just a torus with some group selection on it, and then you have, if the singular fibers have multiple components, then you can also have these reducible components of singular fibers. And then the last thing is the sections. And these sections are precisely the string junctions. And so so this was first in the physical literature introduced by Sen, De Wolf, and Tolan, but then later this paper gives a very systematic, well, somehow very systematic description of these sections in terms of model video lattice, where all kinds of segregation curves. So this is the approach we take. We want to show that we can do this for the T4 vibration too. So how do we do that? So recall that the monodromy matrix were just describing which curve, which one cycle or S1 in the elliptic fiber shrink in the elliptic fibration case. So in our case, this monodromy matrix is telling you which cycle shrink in the T4 fiber. And so the string network was nothing but taking this, so if you have the string network and you took the degenerate fiber and put it on top of this network and let it shrink at the endpoints, that's how you got the the elements of how you got the sections. So here we can do the same trick, and we got the sections of the T4 vibration. So there's that's a very similar aspect of this construction to the elliptic vibrations. And but there's something which is different, because you recall that this BICRs are actually different. So for example, we can get BN. This is maximal group enhancement we can get from this structure, but you cannot get, for example, EN, because for that you needed, for example, you needed two identical C-type singular fibers. We simply don't have that in our picture. And the other description that's the other part which is nice is this lattice description, MW lattice description. The torsion part of this model V group actually includes the discrete isometries. So we'll see that too, because we need from the supergravity distribution that we have this type of isometry groups. So recall that we have these flux members depicted by related to these D3 charges. So we actually have a bunch of different caveats due to the original flux complication. So for different flux members, you actually find very different geometry and topology in the dual type 2A. So the complete set is just given by X11, and if M and N are identical, for example, if M and N are 2, then you got this one. And the other possibilities are just by setting M to be 2 and 3. And 4, of course. So these are solutions of the calculus condition. So is there, because the original theory, it was very easy to do dependence vacuum. So you wonder if there's an easy description of these relations between these different caveats. So something you realize very easily is type 2B had S duality. So if you exchange them at N, in the original theory, this should relate to these two caveats together for those, and these two guys are invariant under this duality. And also because the degeneration, so as I said, the discrete isometries are realized by the torsion part of the model we grew. And it's actually easy to realize geometrically what are these discrete isometries, because there. So this from the junction picture, you can infer which side part gives you this discrete isometry. It's just one. It's, of course, it's just an M3 circle, and there's a discrete isometry because the metric, approximate, for example, had a discrete isometry related to shifting around that circle. So from that, you realize that you can actually just mod out by some discrete. You just mod out by this discrete isometry group, and you can go from this guy to this guy. So you realize you exchange the discrete isometry with non-trivial fundamental group. And similarly, these are also related. But there's a different question we want you to ask, which is starting from the M equal N equal 1 case, which is in the dual picture the simplest case for flux members in some sense, can we construct all of the dual cloud caveats? You should expect to be able to do that, because in the type 2D picture, this is just physically dialing the flux member. So it turns out it's not so trivial. And so, of course, like here, you can think about quotienting, but what happens is that, so in the model with lattice, if you put the singular fibers together, you got extra discrete isometry, because you got additional string junctions. And so remember this, I didn't explain the full details of the string branch construction, sorry. But the key point is the string junctions have to have integer charges associated to each node that you have. So when you put some similar fibers together, you can have an integer charge which goes into that blob. But when you try just virtually when you resolve it, actually the charge are fractional associated to each component of that singular that colorless singular fiber, and that enlarged the lattice, and you got extra isometry. For example, in the simplest case, is just put a pair of eight type singular fibers together, and you got this kind of junction. So the sum of these two is just 1, 0. So this can change. So now you got extra isometry for this x11. So how about quotienting with that extra isometry? Actually, you got always the type. You got always in quotient. You got non-trivial fundamental group which are of this Zn type. You cannot actually got the non-trivial fundamental group in this xmn, which is Zn times Zn. So these constructions so far doesn't work out. But there's a positive side to this story. So we kind of construct in this, by this quotienting method, we can construct new collabials which are not due to the original type 2b, but you have non-trivial fundamental group and interesting structure, and these are the ones Ron and Saito are working on for the quadratic string construction. So this monotrivial string junction construction were the first one came to realize based on the supergravity analysis. But then you ask how, that's a nice feature, but how can you be more solid with this dual Calabi-Yau geometry? Can you construct them algebraically? So the answer turns out to be that for one of the cases, the construction is fairly easy. This is realized soon after we have the first construction, because if you look at the flux members when they're both one, this gives us that the dual fiber has something called principal polarization. This is just, and this is the case for Jacobian of genus 2 curve. So you think, you ask yourself, is there a fibration of a genus 2 curve or P1 which can encode the data we're looking for? And so these surfaces, these genus 2 curve fibrations are easier to study than Calabi-Yau itself. And it's much more under control. So because in addition, they encode the same interesting data about the one cycles. So for what we do, that's pretty much all the information we need. And also, so this what I call Jacobian physically is just Wilson lines on these one cycles. And if there is such a construction through this auxiliary surface, maybe there is a way to make it more physical as fiberized TDM, as I mentioned earlier. So we start looking for these type of surfaces, and simplest one can be constructed as double powers of P1 and P1, and the fibration structure of the genus 2 curve, which is you got that just by requiring the so for these vibrations you have an easy description, because these are double covers and there's a branch curve, and the curve has certain degree, and for degree 6 you got a genus 2 surface, because you have a double cover of the P1, so one of the P1 factors this one, actually you have a have 6 branch points, and this is how you construct the hyperelliptic curve with genus 2. So, and for the other one, you want, so the base, you want it to be adjusted for y, so you want the degree to be 2. And so for a degree 2,6, for the branch curve with degree 2,6, we can construct a double power, which is a genus 2 curve fibered over P1. And this is a candidate for the X11 we were looking for. So this is the simplest you could have hoped, but is this the one surface we're looking for? And to answer that, we have to check some geometric data. And because of the existence of the surface, many computations can be done much easier than in the generic Clavial. So for example, you have to show first that this is a Clavial, because the fibers, the singular fibers of this Clavial are fairly, they're of the simplest kind. And so you can compute this first turn class of the canonical bundle fairly easily by just restricting to G1. And it turns out, yes, so the degree of this of the canonical bundle of P1 and the ones which are normal, and the determinant of the normal bundle of this P1 in the Clavial are to sum to be 0.
So let me understand the basic thing. So this, you're trying to prove that X11 looks like a T4 vibration of P1.
No.
Am I right?
Yes, it is a T4 vibration for P1. Yeah. So we are trying to construct actually the Clavial which realizes this, which is a dual to the original flux vacuum.
Yeah.
And another, so you can show that this is indeed what we constructed as the relative Jacobian of this surface S is a Clavial. How about the Hodge numbers? So you can first, just because of the fibration structure, you can actually show that the, so for example, H21, you can show that it has the right number by just counting the number of, so it's not completely correct, but it's the simplest way to do it, just counting the number of coefficients in this frame of the branch curve. So this realized common structure deformations. And you find there are 20 of them, but then you have also SL2Z transformations on the two P1s. So that brings down 3 each, and you find the number 14 indeed. And to find the number of sections, to find H11, you know, recall there's a T4 fiber, there's the base, and so but there are also a number of sections. The number of sections actually is 12, so you also have 14. Another way to realize these two numbers have to be identical is by computing the Euler class of Clavial, because the fibration structure you can compute and very easily and show that it's 0. But also that tells you these two numbers are identical, so if you infer one to be 14, the other one has to be 14 too. And
is it self-mirror?
It's not known to be self-mirror, actually. It's just somehow the numbers are the same. So the most, the best motivated way to understand it is just this Euler number is actually vanishing, just because the T4 fiber, the generic fiber, had also vanishing Euler class. And then we have the singular fibers. The singular fibers are actually P of the type of a P1 times, topologically they're P1 times a T2. And that, just from the computation, you see that it has to vanish. And these two numbers have to be the same, but no one knows what at this point whether it's self-mirror. It can be studied, but.
Will your network mirror simply here using the original type to be backwards?
No, so the original type to be was warped.
Yes, so they start here. So do mirror transformation here.
So you can go to type to be, but there will be a different type to be.
Yes, I wasn't really known what that type to be.
Sorry?
Do you know what that type 2B is?
Yes, yeah, it's just a Calabi-Yau, again, Calabi authentication in type 2B. In type 2B.
So there is no relation at all in the original T6 working tool?
They're kind of
not. You don't know that what the mirror is.
No, we don't really know.
No, but no, you don't know, but morally, some T-duality or some T3 here.
Yeah, there is a T4.
So the can you track it back?
There's a T4, and the T4 is actually related to SDLT in the original type 2B. And so you can just take a T3 and try to dualize it. But,
which T3?
Well, that's a dummy.
So the.
Well, it's a reduction.
It's very similar to this SYZ realization.
Yeah.
Mirror symmetry. And,
but do you know what the SYZ vibration is in this case?
It, I think it's related to the string junction description, but you know. So we don't know what the mirror is and whether it's self mirror. There are some ones that are very similar to the feature self mirror, but this one is not known. And then another thing you can compute is there are actually the number of singular fibers in the surface, and also in the Calabi-Yau there are both 20. And this actually, a way to count this is to realize there were, in this case, m equal 1, you have 12 D3s. And also for, okay, I'm going to the D6-06 picture. There you have 12 D6s as the original 12 D3, but also you have 4 pair of O6s, the total number of singular sources in the original theory was 20. And this actually gets mapped to the singular fibers, the number of singular fibers in the vibration. And, you know, and then I told you there was a section. There were sections, so there were actually infinite many sections of this vibration, and before a lattice. And okay, this is the detail of how to construct this lattice. But there are a few different ways to realize this. The important thing to take away from this is that there is a lattice structure on this and has the right magic on the lattice and it's actually a detailed lattice. So this detailed lattice is related to the original SO 2 times 12 gauge group in the flux complication. So I'm seeing there are a few, so the details are here how to construct this section based on the surface. This is a standard construction. So there are a few different ways to realize this surface, actually. One of them is through the double cover I told you, another one by blowing up some more well-known surface, which is the elliptic rational surface. So these are first group surfaces. And you blew up, for example, any of the F0, 1, 2, guys at 12 points, and you can realize that this is the way to construct the sections. And due to a result by Saito, the 12 is actually maximum rank you can get for any of these surfaces. So that's interesting because for the minimal number of flux, 1 and 1, we have the maximum number. Maximum number of D-brains and hence maximum rank of gauge group, and that's also 12. So there are a few, so if you recall, there were a few other things to check before you can claim victory. And these are the intersection numbers. So actually, let me go back just one step. So, for example, the C2, the second churn class of this Calabi-Yau, were just singular loci, the singular fibers. These are the 20 elliptic curves, because the single fiber were just elliptic curve times the P1 topologically. So these have intersection with, so in the string, let's move to the next one. So in the, based on this surface, you can realize, you can embed this genus 2 fiber surface in the Calabi-Yau. And there are a few different ways to do it, depending on which section of the genus 2 surface vibration you pick at the zero section. So these are just, so these different realize the different embeddings of the genus 2 surface in this Calabi-Yau give you the 12 homology classes corresponding to the sections of the vibration. The easiest way to think about them is just they're related by shifting by shifting by a vector in the lattice. And so these are in the math literature what's called a theta surface. And so for the homology classes in for the H4 group of the Calabi-Yau, we have the abelian fiber. How about the, so I apologize because I didn't have time to explain like what these guys are, but these are the homology cycles constructed using an approximate metric. So how do we realize those things that existed in the supergravity construction in our construction? So these data surfaces actually had a symmetry because the genus 2 surface construction have these different sections, pairs of different sections, and the pair of sections, if you sum them up, they give you actually the fiber, the P1 fiber of the other projection of the double power. And so these relations between these sections tell you that these symmetries, kind of a Z2 symmetry between these 12 pairs of sections, give you a realization of the RNT4 projection in the original theory. And from these data surfaces, you can construct these guys called epsilon i's and h. So these are the guys that are written down in the very first few slides where I computed the triple intersection numbers. And indeed, if you, so again, this is trivial, but if you write down these epsilon i and h classes in terms of these data services, they give you exactly the expected triple intersection numbers for the, as deduced from the supergravity construction. And the funny thing is, you see, so because of the relation between the thetas, these are actually classes in the homology, integral homology group. But you see a funny factor here, and this is actually related to some subtlety version of supergravity construction. But only at, so we identify this H as the class dual to the Taylor class of the abelian surface fiber. And that's actually because of the approximate harmonic form construction, that's actually only true at some special point of this lattice. So actually, in general, you have to put this correction here. But nonetheless, this intersection numbers are pretty convincing. And why we were bothering with all of this? Because we want to prove this one copy of Iwanki. And that's based on a theorem of Wall. And in the case of, so for X11, we actually have, it's simply connected. So you have to check that the first term class vanishes, and second term class has the right intersection with other surfaces in the construction. And the triple intersections agree with what we wanted. So this is the Calabi-Yau we really wanted to find, which is the view of the fraction B fraction. So we succeeded in constructing this for the m equal n equal 1 case, but more general case, we are still trying to work it out. Actually, the original idea is related to this quotient thing, where it's related to the degeneration of some of the branch curve, because actually in this genus 2 hybridization case, all of the singularities of the surface acts, and hence the Calabi-Yau, they're related to similarities of the branch curve. So you might think that enclosed, and it's very natural that by degenerating the curve, you can connect the different Calabi-Yaus, but that has not been done. So I'm repeating myself again in the conclusions. So the monotomy string junction description, we suspect, is more general than just it's more useful in general than what we have showed here. Indeed, there is some very similar description for non-geometric collection based on this monotomy description. So there you realize you use not only this so-called perturbative monotremes, you also introduce elements of the U-duality group. And then these guys show that this kind of construction can offer explicit description of non-geometric vacuum and they're due to certain G2 construction, G2 complications. And so the other construction was using a relative Jacobian genus 2 surface, fiber surface. So this surface is also auxiliary in our construction, but it can be made more physical. And so the model wheel lattice structure also come out nicely. So this is expected by studying the original. This is expected based on the pitch group structure in the original D3 vacuum. And also, we have showed that based on Wall's theorem, this what we have constructed is the right Calabi-Yau, which is actually dual of the flux vacuum. When equal and equal 1, we have succeeded in doing that. So, as in motivation part, we realize that we can do a bunch of things based on this construction. It can be systematic because the construction is rather explicit. For example, this instant has the sum of interesting functions, and also the structure dictates some bound states inversion theory to contribute to these corrections. And some more speculative things to think about is whether this can plug into the bigger wrapper of M code 2 vacuum, either by iterative type 2A kind of duality or some other unknown new dualities. And then, of course, the more interesting goal is to reach M code 1 by considering more generic flux, because this M code 2 case is highly fine-tuned because the flux components have some structure that give you three isometric circles to perform key dualities on. So for the encode 1 case, you will again run into this non-geometric type of vacuum described most recently by these guys. So it's interesting to see if this our work is related to theirs in terms of the monotony description.
Questions? Well, if not, I think that's Peter again.
Thank you.